boys and girls.
Amen. You finally got it down.
By the way, there's one more church represented here. There, Haven Independent Baptist Church in Chesterton, Indiana.
That's where I'm from. So I am glad to be here and part of this beautiful camp meeting. And I hope that you've been having a wonderful time as I have. And by the way, Mrs. Barker had got sent some pictures today, so now she knows what you all look like, and she is all excited and told me to tell you all that she's praying for you and that God will work on your hearts, all right? So you know. Okay, as the boys turn to open the pack back, can you come on up here, sir? And you know what to do here. Can you find it all right? Gotta be in there somewhere. Okay, zip it back up. Thank you. What you got here? Well, this is interesting. What do I do with this? Oh, I know. No. What? Hey, you know what this is?
Bug spray.
You know, if you come to camp, you gotta have bug spray, right? Now, I don't know about you, but we've been pretty fortunate. I haven't seen any of those mosquitoes yet. You know, make you itch here and itch there, you know, like that. But you never know, but I brought this along just in case. But there's another reason I brought it along. You see, if you're going to be a camp and there's bugs around, sometimes, especially if you're going to go for a hike in the woods, you've got to spray some of this stuff on you to protect you. This is what we would call your armor. Well, boys and girls, as we go down the path of life, when we're preparing to go to the city, we have to have some armor. Take your King James Bibles and turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And starting with verse 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rule of the darkness world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Tonight I'd like to talk to you about keeping your armor on. Keeping your armor on. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I ask right now that you defeat the devil. He does not like this message, and Lord, I pray that you will lock him up, and that these boys and girls will listen attentively, and that victory will be here tonight. That your Holy Spirit, your word, will convict as only you can. And most of all, as always, Lord, that some of you are not sure they'll go to heaven, that tonight might be their night of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is one of the most important parts of the journey to heaven, is having your armor on. If you don't have your armor on, you could be in some serious, serious trouble. And here in this passage, it tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And part of it, and all of that armor comes from, guess where? This book right here.
Amen.
Right here, okay? The Bible goes on to say in the same passage, verse 17, it says to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, along the path, it's not always going to be rosy, because there's going to be somebody that's going to be after you. It's not going to be your brother. It's not going to be your sister. It's not going to be your camp director or your camp counselor. You know what it's going to be? It's going to be the devil. The devil! The devil is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I'd put him in a box. I'd lock that box and throw away the key for all the tricks he's played on me. The devil is after you. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I want to dwell on this verse a minute because it says, as a roaring lion. I don't know if you've ever studied lions before, but I've seen several documents on lions, and it's very interesting what they do. They just don't go somewhere and attack. They'll sit there for days at a time. They'll watch. And they watch the herd. They look to see who's the strongest. They look to see who's the weakest. They look to see how the babies are protected. Then when they've got it all together, then they make their move. But they just don't go in. Kind of move one step at a time. The herd's still eating away. One more step at a time. The herd's still eating away. One more step at a time. The herd's still eating away. And they don't do nothing. All of a sudden, pounces right on him and gets his victim. That's exactly what the devil does to you. Back up here. That's exactly what the devil does to you. He watches you. He wants to see your weak points. He wants to see your strong points. And he is after you. This has been going on for quite some time. When you get done writing, take your Bible to Genesis chapter 3. I want you to see how sneaky this guy is. Believe it or not, in the Bible, the devil quotes Scripture 2 times. But he always does a couple of things. Number one, he always uses it deceitfully, but he also takes it out of context or never finishes the verse. And in this case, he's really deceitful. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman,
"Hey, hear me. Hath God said, ye shall not eat of the trees of the garden?"
Now keep in mind, how often do you see a talking snake? That'd be kind of fascinating in itself. And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the tree of which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." The devil knew he had her. The serpent said to the woman,
"Hey, psst, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof. Then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil."
The woman looked at the serpent and thought, "Oh, you're so wonderful. You're such a great Bible teacher. I've never heard it put that way before." And when the woman saw the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and did eat thereof, and gave also her husband with her, and he did eat. Notice what he did. He got Eve sidetracked. And then he added the scripture. And when he saw that Eve would turn around and add to what God said too, because God never said you couldn't touch it, did he? No. No, he didn't. And then he told her the big lie. "He shall not surely die." Did Eve die? She sure did. Oh, but they lost more than that. They lost this beautiful garden where they had everything all rosy. They didn't have to do any work, just pick things off and eat. They got kicked out and they had to grow their own crops, and then the weeds came along and we still got them. And the mosquitoes started fighting. Boy, do we still have that, right? Yeah. The devil deceived Eve. And ever since then, he's been doing the same trick with all of you. He is out to get you, and he knows just what strings to pull.
Right.
And that's why you need to have your armor on. Now take your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to see just the opposite of what happens when the devil comes along and tempts somebody. I want you to see both sides of the picture. You saw what happened to Eve and how she fell for things because she wasn't prepared. She didn't have her armor on. But then we come to another passage in Matthew chapter 4. We see somebody else that was tempted. "Then was Jesus led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of who? The devil. And when he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards in hunger." Wait a minute. I don't know about you, but after 40 days and 40 nights, I think I'd be pretty hungry, wouldn't you? I'll tell you what, I'd want more of the cheese puff like I had last night, right? Man, I'd be going for a big steak and some Burger King Whopper and all that stuff. Yeah. Oh, I got an amen back there. Okay, here we go. Somebody likes a Burger King Whopper. There we go. Anyway, he was pretty hungry. When the tempter came on, he said, and the camp came, he said, "What? If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And how did Jesus fight him? Did he do this? "Put them up, put them up, put them up. I'll put them up, put them up back." Is that what he did? Oh, I know, he got his machine gun out. "All right, devil, don't you move. I got you covered. You move one mile up, I'm letting you." Is that what he did? Oh, I know, he did it the Pentecostal way. "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." Is that what he did? No, look at verse 4. But he answered and said,
It is written,
man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Verse 7, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 10, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. It is written, it is written, it is written. And look what happened in verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Why does the preacher man talk so much about memorizing verses? This is one of the reasons right here. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. The devil's not afraid of a lot of things, but there's one thing he is scared to death of, and that's the Bible when it's quoted. Now, I don't want this to scare you any, but this is real. Remember I told you I worked in a prison? Well, I wasn't just an officer, that's what they called me, but they called me also preacher man because I was known as a preacher man. I had to deal with Muslims, atheists, but guess who else? Devil worshipers. Real devil worshipers. And you know what? The only tool I could do to get those devil worshipers under control and some are really possessed by the devil. You know what I had to do? I had to quote the Bible.
Amen.
It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. And I remember one night when everybody is asleep, I was working midnights, and this guy with red hair comes up with me and a Bible of Satan and wants to have a debate, thinking he's going to show the preacher man up. And he starts reading from the Bible of Satan. And then it's my turn, and I quoted from the King James Bible. This went on for 45 minutes. And I forget what happened. Remember, he had red hair. His face got so red, it was almost as red as his hair. I thought he was mad coming after me. He got up from his seat, he went over to the garbage can and whipped that Bible of Satan in there and said, Preacher man, now I know the Bible's real! And he got saved that night.
Amen.
See, boys and girls, this right here is your weapon. Your armor. You need to have your armor on all the time. It works, it works, it works. Now, I hope you got lots of space, because I have several things to help you that you need to think about keeping your armor on that will help you. Some of these we've been talking about, but now you're going to have a list. And I'm going to give you a Bible verse for every one of them, because you know the preacher, man. He always gives a Bible verse for everything, right? All right, here we go. Here's the first one. Read your Bible every day. Read your Bible every day. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth the sea scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, his law doth he meditate day and night. You need to be in your Bible every single day. Because if you're not in your Bible, guess who's going to be watching? Yeah, the devil. And he knows you're going to be weak. Remember we talked about eating your spiritual food? And just think about it. If you don't eat for a while, you're going to get weak. And the devil knows this. Yeah. All right. Number two. You ready? Obey mom and dad. Preacher man, you had to say that. Yeah. Well, some mom and dad, you're right there in the back. Obey mom and dad. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know what? It's so important. Obey mom and dad. It solves a lot of problems, and the devil doesn't like it when you do it. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is what?
Right.
I'm glad you got that. It's not an option. It says this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And there's something I've learned since then that I took to a more extent. See, my mom and dad aren't around anymore. They're in heaven. So, you know, my old nature says, oh, you can do whatever you want to do because you don't have to obey mom and dad anymore. Guess what? I have a heavenly father. He's my daddy now. I have to honor him. Whoa. And we talked about that. Remember how I treat God is how God's going to treat me? I got to honor my heavenly father. Something for you to think about, isn't it? Wow. All right, here's the next one. Number three. Always go to church. Always go to church. Psalms 122 verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 27 verse 4. Psalm 27 verse 4. One thing have I desired all my life, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord acquired at the temple. Get that drilled into you. Always go to church. Even when you don't feel like it. I heard this from a pastor that I worked for 2 years before I went full time, but boy, it sure makes a lot of sense. He said, when you stay home from church, that's when the temptations are the greatest. Think about that a minute. You've already lost one battle. You're staying home. And now the devil says, ha, 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 I've got him with some free time. He's not normally having to have it. Hey, how about if we do this? How about if we watch that? How about if we go here? Ha, 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 ha. And before you know it, you're in a heap big trouble. You know why? Because you made the wrong decision. You weren't in the house of God. And that's right there, one good reason why you go to church. And also, you might pull this on your friends that might laugh at you about going to church. Say, well, why do you go to church all the time? That's all you go to church, go to church. Tell them, well, you know why? It's not because my dad says I have to go. No, no, no. Tell them the Bible says so. It makes a difference. It'll shut them up. I'll tell you it will. Because you're using God's word now. Amen? All right, here's the next one. You ready? Listen to your pastor. Just don't go to church. Listen to your pastor. Jeremiah 3:15. I will give you pastors according to my heart, which will fill you with knowledge and understanding. You said, I didn't know that was in the Old Testament. It sure is. Amen. And remember this verse? Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will hear and what? Increase learning. And a man of understanding has attained a wise counsel. Listen to their pastor. He will help you grow. He will help you understand things. He will teach you things because he loves you. He wants to help you. Wow. All right. Now, here's a good one. Have the right friends. Have the right friends. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh a wise man should be wise, but a companion of fools should be destroyed. And then Psalm 119:63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of all them that keep thy precepts. I got a story to go with this one. I was a preacher's kid. And most of the time, as I got older, I behaved in church. But I was 16 years old. I should have known better. And I had some friends in the church. They were young people my age. One was Stephen Fitch. His dad was the song leader. His mom was the organist. He was a very good guy. And him and I used to sit together and take notes. Well, that night, Stephen and I made a bad decision. Instead of sitting in the second row like we always did, we sat way back in the last row with Elbert Bonner and Norman Davis. Now, Elbert Bonner happens to be what you call an artist. And Mrs. Fitch, bless her heart, that's Stephen's mom, had a very different way of playing the organ. She just didn't play. She would sit there like this with her eyes and go, staring at anybody with big eyes. It ain't got to be a big joke around the youth group. You know, she's staring with her great big eyes and she plays the organ. And so my dad's up there preaching. And Elbert Bonner gets out his pen and he starts drawing an organ bench. Then he draws an organ. And then he draws a stick figure with an eye that's open with lashes. And then he puts underneath it, Mrs. Fitch. You can imagine what happened. Now my dad's up there preaching. We were sitting back there, we were laughing and laughing, and all of a sudden I heard this, right in front of everybody. David, get up from where you are, you come up and you sit in the third row, and when you get home, you're going to get a spanking. Bad enough being called down, but the whole church knew I was going to get a spanking. Yeah! Now, you know me. I'm Mr. Social Guy. I go, hi, how you doing? Not that night. When it was amen with the invitation, I went downstairs and hid in the men's bathroom till everybody left. Because everybody in the church knew I was getting a spanking. You know, I learned something. I don't hang around with Elbert Bonner and Norman Davis anymore. And you know what? Stephen got a spanking too. Oh, did we get hot seats? And after that, I learned a big lesson. I don't hang around the wrong crowd. Amen? Amen? You might have some friends, but be careful who your good friends are because they influence you a lot. And while I'm on the subject, every inmate I talked to without exception in the 18 and a half years I was there said, Preacher man, you know why I'm here? I hung around the wrong person. Ouch. Yeah, something to think about, isn't it? Next, be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. Remember, we talked about that, and I'm going to give you some verses for it. Psalms 34, verse 1. Psalms 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And then Psalms 141, verse 3. Psalms 141, verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. And this one's a good one. Proverbs 21, 23. Proverbs 21, 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. When you keep your mouth shut, you get out of a lot of trouble. Be careful what you say and when you say it. Because the devil loves to do that. You know how he is. He tempts you and you say something at the wrong time and somebody hears it and then you're in huge trouble, you know? Yeah, open mouth, insert foot. Yeah. Oh, but there's more. Here's the next one. Be careful what you look at. Be careful what you look at. Psalms 101 verse 3, Psalms 101 verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. If you know about 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 16 and all that, it says all in the world is what? The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes and the pride of life. The devil loves to throw something in front of you that you could stare at. Yeah. Kind of reminds me of Patch the Pirate, you know, and that guy that was in the missile, you know, the cannon, you know. Oh, this is my very favorite program. My very, very favorite. Yeah. Yeah, it got in a lot of trouble, didn't it? Be careful what you watch, boys and girls. Make sure it's glorifying the Lord. Make sure you got a Bible verse behind what you're watching because it'll make all the difference in the world. Next. Stay away from evil things. Stay away from evil things. Don't even be around them. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Don't even go there. Oh, your friends, oh, we'll have lots of fun. Don't go there. When I was at the prison, I was invited to all kinds of parties and to go to the tavern afterwards and have a drink. And I looked at them and said, no, thank you. Well, why? And I gave them Bible verses to go along with it. Amen. Yeah, and this one really got them. They had this gambling boat about 15 miles away in Michigan City. They called it the boat. It was called the boat, the casino, the boat casino, whatever. And oh, they get their paycheck and they all preach a man. We're going to go to the boat. You want to go to the boat? We're going to win lots of money. And I said, nope, I'm not going. I am not going. Proverbs 13:11 says, wealth gotten by vanity should be diminished, but he that got it by labor shall increase. I'm not going. Oh, preacher man, you're missing out. Oh, that's fine. Yeah, they went. They come back with the days off. And you know what they do? They come up to me and say, hey, preacher man, can I borrow a dollar or two? I said, what happened? You blow your whole world. Yeah, preacher man, I'm a debt man. Yeah, well, that's why I don't gamble. And then I'd save my money, you know, making overtime, and my wife be mowing lawns, and we take these fancy vacations out west. And they say, preacher man, how in the wide world can you do these fancy vacations on your salary? I said, well, let's see. I don't smoke, I don't drink, and I don't go to the boat and gamble. And by the way, I also don't spend 50 cents every time you turn around that pop machine. My wife got me the stuff from Aldi's, you know, for 10 cents, you know. Yeah. I said, I saved my money. They couldn't believe it. You see, and it worked. And after a while, they began to take heed. They started listening. And after a while, they stopped asking me to go to those places. Because you know why? They found out that I don't want anything to do with evil things. Because they will get you in trouble every single time. Stay away from evil things. All right, now let's get it even better. Here we go. We got two more to go here. Control your thoughts. Control your thoughts. We're going to dwell on this a minute. Psalms 119 verses 113 through 115. Psalms 119 verses 113 through 115. I hate vain thoughts. But thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I will keep the commandments of my God. Remember what I said. Don't you ever forget it. Before you ever did it, you thunk it. Before you ever did it, you thunk it. And if only you would control this and ask yourself before you do this, is this according to the Bible? Oh, the trouble we would be out of. But you know what we do? We just go ahead and do things. Because that's the way we've been taught. We just go ahead and we do that. Yeah. Proverbs 19:2 says, also the soul be without knowledge and is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. And all that happens all the time. You hasten with your feet and you just go and you don't think, and all of a sudden you're in trouble. And Mom says, all right, what are you doing over there? You're no better than that. And you go, ooh. You know why? You weren't thinking. Those thoughts can get you in big, big trouble. And that's why it's important also to obey the rules of the camp. Because I'll tell you what, if you look at those rules, you find that every one of them is based upon the Bible. So if you're one of those people sitting here tonight saying, ew, I hate all these rules, well, you better go look again, because all these rules are according to what God wants. Amen? It's getting quiet in here.
Amen!
Amen!
Amen.
Okay, just want to make sure that you're getting with you. Okay, here's the last one. You ready? When in doubt, don't do it. When in doubt, don't do it. Romans 14:23b. Romans 14:23b. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I'm going to dwell on this a minute here. This is so important. If you have any questions in your mind about doing something, don't do it. I don't care what your friend says. I don't care how appetizing it might be. I don't care how much money you might make. If you're not sure about it, if you don't think it's pleasing to the Lord, if it's not sure, you don't have a verse to back it up, you don't think it's right, you don't think your parents would approve, you're not sure, you want to ask first, then guess what? You better ask first. Don't do it. Whatsoever not of faith is what? Sin. That's what the Bible calls it. I didn't realize that. That's sin. I thank the Lord for a godly dad. When I got to be older, I would say, Dad, can I go here with these guys? They want to do this. And my dad wasn't one of these guys saying, no, you just stay home. No, he gently looked at me and said, you know, David, he said, I don't want you to go this time. And this is why. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, he the walk of a wise man should be wise, but the companion fool should be destroyed. If you go with these guys, they're going to get themselves in trouble. I just know they will. But if you stay home, you're going to be out of the trouble, and you feel a lot better. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm doing this because I love you, he would say. I walked away and thought, okay, I'll listen to him this time. And guess what? He was right. They got themselves in trouble big time. Oh, did they get themselves in trouble. And you know what happened? My respect for my dad in this book went way up. So the next time Dad said no, I don't want you to go this time. I was all ears. I said, okay, Dad, lay it on me. I'm ready. I want the Bible verse and the reason why. Because you know what? He was a very smart man. And I'm so glad I listened to him. Because he taught me not just to jump into things, but to think things through first. If any doubt, you ask. And he said, before you do anything like this, you always ask me first. I got to tell you the story. It was kind of fun. Remember, I went to the public school for my senior year of high school. And I was in this class in the public school called Communications. And I'll never forget my teacher. He had this curly hair, you know, and the glasses, and he kind of talked like this. Yeah, and we're all going to communicate together. And now I all want you to talk about your parents. And all these guys in class were talking about how rotten your parents were and how they can't wait to get out of the house. And then they came to me. And so I'm a little different story. I said, I love my parents and I like living at home. And one of the guys piped this, oh, I'll bet you're one of those guys that still have to tell Mom and Dad where you're going and you wait when you're going to be back. And I said, you better believe it and let me tell you why. You see, my dad's a pastor. And I've memorized a lot of verses, and I'm like my dad's assistant. And my dad wants to know where I'm at so that he can call me and pick me up if he needs me to take me to go visit him with him. And I want to come home and be there to help him. And I'll never forget the communication. Boy, was that place quiet. Amen? Yeah! I'll tell you what, I stuck up for this book, and I stuck up for Mom and Dad because they told me, if they're in doubt, don't do it. And I'll never forget that. And around here, you might be tempted to do something you're not supposed to do. In doubt, you don't do it. As I'm telling you something, the devil is after you tonight. The devil is after you. I got time to read this, and I'm going to read this, and I want you to think seriously about this. I got a story to tell you and a half. As you know, I was an officer. And I got to work every position in the prison. One day they had me do what they call a double. That's when you work 16 hours And the first 8 hours I worked my regular position and worked hard, and they felt sorry for me. I looked a little tired, I guess. So they put me in what they call the handicap dorm, was old dorm. It's an easy dorm. Instead of having to watch your back all the time with the sneaky inmates, all these, you have to watch these guys. You know, they're walking around with canes and walkers and wheelchairs. You just got to make sure nobody's falling down and nobody's having a heart attack. Easy night, you know. So I've got everything's all settled down, you know. I do my count and everything, and I'm walking around, and they have nice rooms for these guys with bunks, you know, about 3 bunks in every room. And I'm walking around checking, making sure everybody's okay. Nobody fell down and went boom, boom. I got all the way down to the end of the hall, and on the right side, there was a man. He was sitting on his bunk with a fancy Thompson's Chain Reference Bible on his hand, reading. When I see that with an inmate, I always walk up and say, "Understandest what thou readest?" A lot of times I get a response, not this guy. And it looked up at me with a tear in his eye, and he said, "I'm afraid so, preacher man." He said, "I've been waiting for you to come down here." He said, "Preacher man, I've heard a lot about you, and I've heard a lot about your ministry." He said, "Now I want to tell you about me." He said, "You're looking at a man that used to be a pastor of a very large church in the Indianapolis area, a Bible-believing fundamental church." And he said, "Preacher man, I had everything in the world going for me. Had a wonderful life, some wonderful children. But then it got to me. I thought I could do it by myself. I thought I could get away without reading my Bible for several days. Oh, I went on serving the Lord, but you know what happened? It caught up with me. And now, preacher man, I've lost my church. I've lost my family. I've lost my wife. And I lost my freedom." They said, "Preacher man, as you travel on the country, I want you to tell everybody you can, especially boys and girls, that they need to be in their Bibles every single day." Amen. And he said that in tears. I went home that night and I wrote this poem. You think about this. There was a man of God who sat in a prison cell. He had preached the word of God. Everyone had known him well. Now he sits with his head bowed. He hardly makes a sound because one day he decided to put his Bible down. His cellmates, they all wondered why to prison he did go. If he had done his best for Jesus, why is his head so low? They asked, "Why are you here, Christian?" as they gathered round. The man then told the story. "I put my Bible down. I thought that it was harmless to skip a day or two of reading my devotions. I had other things to do. Then my new nature grew weak, and the devil came to town. I could not win the battle because I put my Bible down. I did not know how to fight him. I did not know what to say, for I had not read God's word or took the time to pray. Oh, I went on serving Jesus. How godly I did look. But I did not have the power that comes from God's dear book. So now I sit in prison, an inmate just like you. My reputation is all ruined. My preaching days are through. That is why I hang my head and my face worse to frown, because I regret that day I put my Bible down. Oh, Christian, hear the message from this man's prison cell. There are children who need a leader, and there are sinners going to hell. There are blessings to obtain. We must win the victor's crown. May you never have to say the words, "I put my Bible down. I put my Bible down." Every Christian inmate that I talked to in the 18 and a half years I was there that was saved before they were locked up, told me the same thing. "Preacher man, it all started when I stopped reading the Bible. I put my Bible down." Now maybe you understand why you have these devotionals that you study every day. Now you understand why they put all these verses down for you to memorize. Now you understand why the preacher man's giving you this list here for your armor. Now you understand why we keep on talking about the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. I'll tell you why this is your armor. And if you don't have it, you could fail too. This guy was a preacher, a pastor of a very large church. Now he's got tears coming down his eyes saying, "Preacher man, I goofed. I put my Bible down. And I've made a decision. I'm never going to be like that. I'm not going to put my Bible down, and I hope you don't either. Because this book right here is so important to me."